Well, listen, this is an interesting Scientology fair game podcast because we have cameras.
Not only that, we're in the same room.
Right. Biggest point.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, Mikey.
It's so nice to see you.
I miss you.
I miss you too. A lot.
Love you. Well, thank you for tuning in and for listening.
Yeah, here we are again.
All right.
I mean, it's hard for me now to focus on what we're supposed to be doing here because I'm excited to, like, you know, I haven't seen you for so long, and I feel like all I want to do is go, oh, did you watch this show? Have you done this? How's Angela? Like, what's happening?
But you act like we don't talk.
Well, talking on the phone or texting to me is different than –
because I know everything that's going on in your life.
Well, sort of, yeah. And I know most of what goes on in your life, but still, it's different.
It is different.
It just is different.
Yeah.
It's different when you can look someone in the eyeball and get the inflection in their voice and the smile in your eyes and that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Cute.
I miss you.
I miss you. Let's get to it.
Okay. You want me to start?
Sure. So we're doing viewers, listeners.
Well, that's because we've got cameras here today. So you say viewers.
Viewers like, and listener questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
All right. So this is our favorite thing to do. So that's why we're doing this.
We're also doing it because it's our listeners' favorite.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And also because if we tried to organize getting another person into this room and not camera,
it would be absolutely not. Absolutely not.
We have enough time with just you and me.
Oh, my God. I just to get this one light to look somewhat decent has taken an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty. Okay.
Which, by the way, I don't think doing a podcast is a horrible thing. I've gotten used to not worrying about what I look like.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean.
Like, I'm usually wearing sweatpants.
Yeah.
And now I have these tight jeans on.
I don't wear pants at all.
You don't? I figured. I saw it in your eyes. I heard it in your voice.
I'm like Ron Burgundy.
What does that mean?
Ron Burgundy. You don't know.
What does
Ron
that
Burgundy,
mean?
He's got like a jacket and a suit and a tie and boxer shorts.
Oh, the Anchorman.
Anchorman.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting older, Mike, so you're getting younger. I am not.
Oh,
you have two young boys.
I wish.
You have two young boys. I mean, even today, like Sophia was talking to me and she was talking in like code. I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what you're talking about. Like she says these words like, oh, I'm this, I'm that.
Oh, that's
and this
cap.
Person's super this and this person's like, oh, this one's flexing and this one's like, oh, that's what the fuck did she say? Something about like when you post a photo of yourself. And it's like you're doing it for what's? Does anybody know in this room? Oh, Thursday. And I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that means.
That's okay. Shane says, "Oh, that's cap."
What the fuck?
That's
is
no
that?
Cap.
What does that mean?
No cap means truth. Cap means lying.
Okay, in my day in the '80s, it was like, "Yo, she capping on you," and I, you know, that meant like you were fucking somebody up, like with your words. Okay, I don't. Anyway.
It's another world.
I don't
it's
know the Anchorman jokes, stepbrother jokes. Like, I'm watching documentaries.
Me too.
Lies.
And hacks. Have you watched that?
No.
Oh
wait.
I would love it with
wait
Gene
a minute. I did. I wanted to play that part.
That
I saw the script. I was so mad. I wanted to be in it. Yes, I did see it.
That show is amazing.
It's
she
good.
Is
She's
wonderful.
Amazing. She's
I remember
amazing.
Her on that pilot.
What pilot?
The pilot that you did. She was in it.
What?
Yes.
I did not do a fucking pilot with Gene Smart. Did I do a fucking? I didn't do a pilot
yes,
with
yes.
her.
That one with the guy from Philadelphia.
No.
That wasn't Gene Smart?
No.
Yes, it was.
Mike, no. The person that I did the pilot with was Holland Taylor, not Gene.
Okay.
By the way, you're just like my husband who pretends, like he literally says, oh my God, Robert De Niro's at the next table. I'm like, that's not fucking Robert De Niro. You're such an idiot. You're so wrong. Like the other day, he told me a story. Oh, yeah. You guys do it all the time. You're like, yeah, remember when we went to that place? You never took me there. That's another woman you're talking about, another relationship. No. We went to the place with the... We didn't go there. Like Angelo goes, remember when you had a big birthday party and you were brought in like by two burly men dressed in underwear? I was like, never happened, Angelo. Like that never happens. He sat his dumb ass for an hour looking through his photos. I go, keep looking, bro. I said, I'm fucking staying in it. I'm not even going to be like, oh, I'm going to go around, do some things around the house. I sat there. I'm exaggerating about the hour. It was probably like 20 minutes, but that's a long time.
Yeah.
And I go, what's the matter? You couldn't find the picture that of something that didn't exist? And you swore I did a pilot with her. And I didn't.
In my defense, I only came to one
but you were,
thing.
You were really,
I was there and I was wrong.
Like
I will admit that,
you
I
knew
was
that
very
I did that
wrong.
When I didn't.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
And here's some viewers' questions. Listener questions.
Okay, here's the first one.
Go.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I remember an episode of The Aftermath when you and Leah discussed the life of L. Ron Hubbard. In the episode, it was proven on paper that Hubbard lied about pretty much his entire life. My question is, how do current members of Scientology justify the lies? Do they really believe Hubbard when there's actual proof he was bullshitting everyone?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't care.
They do.
And I remember when the whole thing came out about L. Ron Hubbard's war record.
Yeah.
His military record. And I remember I went to my handler, Shane Woodruff, and I said, Shane, this stuff is coming out about L. Ron Hubbard. And he said, A, why are you looking at that? That's an enemy to your group. Why would you look at enemy type stuff against your church? And two, this is made up. This is made up by the suppressive people, all coordinated by the psychs of the world to destroy L. Ron Hubbard. And that's the truth. This document is not real.
Right.
Meaning the real document.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens too, Lee, is that, well, first of all, a lot of the information about the truth about Hubbard is withheld from Scientologists. They get a sanitized hagiography version of Hubbard's life.
I'm sorry, what? Hagiography?
I'm not even sure if I pronounce it
I'd
right.
I'd like to know.
Hagiograph.
What were you trying to say?
Hagiograph.
Okay, and what does that mean?
It means,
even if it is right or wrong, what does it mean?
It means an idolized version of the life, something that's made to burnish someone's image rather than tell the truth about them.
Burnish.
Rather than a biography.
Gotcha. So okay. Made up shit.
Yeah. So
okay.
It's a bunch of made up shit.
Gotcha.
A bunch of shit made to make it or to sound like he was very accomplished
yeah,
in things.
But ultimately, don't you think the answer is Scientologists don't care? Because ultimately, they think even if L. Ron Hubbard lies about who he is, they think the technology of Scientology works. So it doesn't matter even if the man lied.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, and then the next fallback position is, well, it doesn't matter. He never claimed to be God. He
right.
was a flawed man. The very fact that he had all these problems or things that happened in his life are proof of how brilliant he was because he overcame them.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. So this is what cognitive dissonance is.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's exactly what it is.
All right. So let me look through my dirty glasses. Okay, this is from Matt. When did Mike and Leah stop believing in Scientology? I remember Mike going on BBC after he left the church and quotes, "Thank you for that, Matt." But at that time, he still believed in the teachings.
Yes, I did.
Fair enough.
Well, I think that everybody goes through this experience of what is it that you...
What was the thing?
Yeah, or what is it that you find that you can disagree with enough that causes you to say, I don't want to be involved anymore? And that's not necessarily everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time, and this happens with a lot of people, They start out with the idea that what is wrong in Scientology is the people who are running it are doing it wrong.
Right.
Or they're bad people and they're not living up to the expectations of what L. Ron Hubbard said should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a much easier sort of step to take than going, everything about this is complete horseshit.
Yeah.
The whole thing is out the window.
Yeah.
I believe everybody ultimately gets there,
mm-hmm.
but it takes different people different amounts of time to come to that conclusion where they go, okay, not only is the organization shit, but so is the philosophy.
Yeah.
And when I did the BBC, which was in 2009, mm-hmm. and I had left in 2007, I was still a sort of a believer in the tech, although I was very vocally against the abuses and physical abuses and disconnection and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I was still kind of, you know, and I think there's some value in the underlying teachings of L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
No more, but
I think for anybody who's in a bad relationship, a bad marriage, a bad job, it's never one thing, right? It's like one thing at the end, right? Where you're like, fuck this. Right. I will not, I can't deal with the fact that we always have these types of protein bars here in the kitchen when I've asked for this kind. You know, it's never that one small thing. It's a collective. And for me, it was going on the internet, seeing all of you leave, you know, the hierarchy of Scientology and how Scientology turned on all of you. And then the explanation of why you were kicked out, quote unquote. And too many of those were happening.
Right.
And the explanations weren't making sense. Shelley being gone, you know, how a human being could be missing. And so it was a collective, I think. And then I think, like you said before, I think there was never a real belief in Scientology. It was always the carrot was being dangled. It's going to get better, right? And just shit does not get better.
Right.
It just will not get better. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a cult. I don't care if it's a relationship. Shit is not going to get better unless you make a drastic change. Like, I'm leaving. I'm not putting up with this anymore. And we left. We all left, and people are leaving. People are not getting in. You know, Scientology is not winning that.
Right.
They have lots of money, true, but they're not winning the game of clearing the planet, which is their objective, which is to make 80% of the population Scientologists. That's not happening.
Thankfully.
Let me ask this question from Sarah P. How does Scientology explain defectors like you and Leah who have reached clear? In other words, how is it possible that someone could be clear and beyond and not have achieved perfection? How can someone who is clear be an SP? How on earth does Scientology explain this? Well, Sarah, we're more than clear. We are actually operating Thetans, OT, which means we have reached the confidential levels of Scientology. So we're way above clear. And the answer I can answer my part is how can any Scientologist of clear and above be an SP? They explain that to other Scientologists by saying they missed something on us. We weren't being completely honest. We weren't applying Scientology as purely as we should have, and they miss something on us, and we're just so suppressive that we got away with it.
Yeah,
up with SPs. Yeah,
I would slightly modify that to say that it's not so much they miss something on us as we failed to disclose something to them.
Yeah,
it's always our fault.
Yeah.
Like, we always did something that caused the technology not to
work
properly.
Penetrate.
And,
yes.
And that could include, you know, having some big secrets that we haven't revealed, or being connected to a suppressive person that we haven't revealed. But also, I think that
well, I blame my suppressive declare on you. Well, because I connected with you, and you're the reason for my declare.
I am proudly happy about that.
Yeah, that's because you're an SP. And if you weren't an SP, you would feel some guilt.
Well,
that
yes.
I've left, and now my eternity is at stake.
It's gone.
No.
Like
I'm going to come back a fucking rock.
You're a black cinder for all time now.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because of me.
And I will not remember my past life, and I will be completely implanted by the psychs in the implant station in between lives. And this is all on you, my grinder.
That's a heavy burden that I carry with me every day.
Well, for you, what they would tell me is things like that's not even the worst of it, by the way. They have said some horrible shit about people, like they were doing things to animals, or they have said some horrible shit. Not about you, but with you, it's like you connected up with SPs, Marty Rathbun, and they couldn't save you, basically. And I'm sure they're saying the same about me.
And that I was, they also would say that I couldn't live up to the high ethical standards of Scientology.
By the way, if you ever want to see what Scientology accuses of, we have hate websites on us by Scientology, if you ever want to go to those.
Okay. Why do you never hear about Scientology in the Midwest? Are there Scientologists in states like Indiana, where I live?
No.
That's true. No. Indiana has never had a Scientology organization.
Why is that?
Because I guess two things. One, Scientology sort of stopped growing in the 70s, 80s, late 70s, early 80s, kind of stopped creating really any new organizations anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they're sort of frozen in time with the organizations that existed. And secondly, I think that the rural America and Bible Belt America has been much tougher to accept
Scientology. You would call Indiana a rural area?
Yeah.
Is it?
Midwest? So. You don't think that's rural? I'm going to try and rephrase this.
Please, go ahead.
Because they don't really mean rural like it's just all farms. Mm. I mean that there is a different ethnic in the Midwest. I mean, I've been to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. I've been to Kansas City. I lived even in Colorado, which really isn't Midwest, but it's got that same. It's the coast, East and West Coast is where Scientology has always been big.
Yeah, and I think you're not going to see like a Scientology presence in Brooklyn or Staten Island or New Jersey. I think it has to do with upbringing. I think it has to do with foundation and religion, in family, in importance of an education, of community. And Scientology is anti all of those things. And so maybe in LA, it has a bigger presence because, we're all kind of fucked up here. And I'm into this shit now. And then tomorrow, I'm wearing a red bracelet. And then the next day, I'm into some other crystal shit. I don't know. It's just like a different mentality because it's more transient, I think, Los Angeles. Like, you don't meet a whole lot of people. Like, say, I was born and raised in LA. I'm not saying that there isn't people here for that, but you don't really see that. Like, and I'm talking about LA. I'm not talking outside of LA because you have the same thing. You have people who were born and raised in Pomona and they're just raised differently. They're not like running a certain, the deep-rooted family, usually grew up with some form of religion in their lives. And so they're not easily plucked into Scientology.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's sort of what I was trying to say.
Okay, but you said rural.
Rural. I did.
And like Indiana, like I dated a very nice boy from Indiana and I was like, the first time I was going to go there, I had red nails and I was like, oh my God, they're going to hate me there in Indiana. And like the most loving, welcoming, like neighbors just walked in motherfuckers' houses. And I was like, this is amazing. Like is Paul going to, what is this one? What are the Albrights doing? And like everybody's family knew each other, like just brought over. pot roast, you know, because I was just like, this is a beautiful thing. Like, I would have loved to have been raised that way. Everybody's neighborly and nice and just, it's community, you know, it's a community thing. And I think part of the reason why Scientology is so attractive in the beginning is for people who lack that growing up, you know, a sense of belonging, a sense of community. You over my answer?
No, I think that's a good answer.
Okay, go.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
I did right by Indiana, didn't I? Go Hoosiers. And fucking know I knew that, right? Right.
Okay.
There's a guy in here with some very good hair.
Me?
Not you, Mike.
Oh.
I know this is... I'll take a picture of him. Post it. He's got good hair.
What is the role of women in the church? Are they separated or restricted as in other religions?
No.
No.
Matter of fact, women are called sir.
Yes.
Executives in Scientology.
Yes, it is one of the things about Scientology that is a little unusual in the world of cults.
Mm-hmm.
Women are not treated as unequal, except for the fact that there's never been a woman that actually has run the thing.
Right.
But in general, gender is pretty irrelevant unless you're not one or the other.
Right. But women get abused just as men do. And there are restrictive, obviously, things. I mean, no matter if you're a victim, if female or male in Scientology, it is always your fault.
Right.
And women of the Sea Org cannot have children if they want to be in the Sea Org and have been forced to get abortions that they didn't want.
Right.
But other than that, it's great.
And like you said, I mean.
And you can't have sex.
Yeah.
So you got to marry the first asshole who asked you to marry him if you ever want to get laid in Scientology.
Yeah. Well, that's
true. And you don't even know if they could fuck.
Yeah.
That to me is the worst punishment, to end up with somebody who can't fuck in the Sea Org or a small dick. I know this is very sensitive to the men in the room, but you should know this. Anybody who's told you its size doesn't matter, it does. We'll let you know when we break up with you, though, the truth.
Okay.
Sorry, Mike. That's a very sensitive subject.
Yeah, it's really.
Are you going to cut this out?
No.
Yeah. Is that mean?
Sure not.
Am I being mean to men? A little bit.
Well, yeah, you are, but we've come to accept that. I'm resigned, in fact.
I love men.
I know you do.
Okay.
Just not if they got a small dick.
Right.
Right. I got it.
I mean, I'll love you. I just don't want to have sex with you.
Okay, moving right along here. I was wondering how you are deemed a suppressive person. Does the COS has to deem you this way?
Okay, let's answer that part. Yes, there is a, how many on the suppressive checklist? How many?
12 points.
There's 12 points. Mm. So you have to do any of those things. One of those things could be filing a police report if you've been raped.
Oh, you mean high crimes?
Yeah, yeah.
And suppressive acts? No, yeah. There's many more than 12.
But
there's
how many?
12 points that indicate whether you're a suppressive person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's two things. I'm sorry. So, Mike, you should post that on our website.
Yeah,
and
I
then,
will do that.
Yeah, so there are characteristics of a suppressive person. And then there are criminal acts written by L. Ron Hubbard. They're called...
High crime suppressive acts.
Exactly. They're called literally high crimes, of which one of them is to report your rape or a crime committed against you to the authorities. That would get you deemed a suppressive person. And yes, the Church of Scientology, when they say COS, that's what they're talking about.
Yep.
They're referring to that. So, yes, we have to be it's actually called declared a suppressive person.
Correct.
Yes.
And in fact, back in the good old days, they used to issue those declares.
On yellow.
On
goldenrod paper.
And they were the official statement from the Church of Scientology that this person has been declared a suppressive person,
mm-hmm.
and that no other – Their only terminal, meaning the only person that they could communicate with, was the International Justice Chief.
Yeah, and that's Mike Ellis, who's still the International Justice Chief.
In name, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the second part is, having said that, how do people like Tom or Leah work with and therefore speak to other actors who aren't part of Church of Scientology or considered suppressive? Well, you're allowed to work with people who aren't Scientologists, but Tom couldn't really work with me.
Well, you can work with anybody as long as they're not a declared SP.
Right.
Scientologist or non-Scientologist.
Yes.
So if Tom Cruise was cast in a movie that you happened to be cast in, mm-hmm. he would not be able to do that movie.
Well, he would get me fired.
He would try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably succeed. I mean, let's
face it. Like Elizabeth Moss, when we were at that awards show, got up and walked out when our category
was coming up.
Right.
Yeah. Left the room.
And what's his name?
Laura Prepon ran out of the room when I was at Chelsea's house for a barbecue.
Yeah, and Vonnie Ribisi didn't
show up to an Emmy.
Show up to an Emmy thing.
Luncheon. Yep.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of crazy. It's just, that is reality.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise isn't allowed to and chooses not to speak to his daughter. Because she's connected to a suppressive person.
Correct.
Katie.
Right. There's 128 suppressive acts in that policy letter, Mike. So
I think you take your pick.
Yeah. You have done 128 of them, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Many more than once.
Right.
Okay. Here's a great one.
What?
After watching only a handful of episodes so far, I'd like to know if Scientology ever has anything nice to say about someone who exits them. It's a pretty easy trend to spot that once you leave and talk about them, you get bashed. But are they ever nice to anyone or those who leave and don't discuss the religion?
Ready?
No. No.
Next question. Calvin, this is a four-parter, Mike.
Oh, come on.
Hang on. L. Ron Hubbard is considered the source of information on Dianetics and Scientology. How is it understood that he came across the information?
Well, let's take that first.
Yeah.
How is it considered that he came across the information? Well, in the introductory stuff, it's like, oh, well, I was trying to recover from my own problems. I was blinded and crippled in the war,
and I studied
all these things, mm-hmm. and, you know, I developed a system
technology.
Of technology
yeah.
that worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Later on, mm-hmm. Hubbard sort of goes into, well, how am I the only one who has raised above the human muck to come up with these? Well, it's because he's not from this planet. That's what he said. He said, I am not from this planet. I came here to save mankind. Did you know that? You're looking at that like, are you shitting me? Did you really say that?
No.
You didn't know that?
That he's not from this planet?
That's what he said.
Mike, shut the fuck
up. He said, I am not from this planet.
Mike Rinder.
Leah Remini. I am being 100%.
Where does he say this?
I don't remember, but I'm going to have to find it and put it on the blog now and the website in order to not be proven a liar. But I promise you 100% he said that. And it may even be in one of those like RJ67.
Right, one of his lectures.
In one of his briefings to Scientologists mm-hmm. about how he's saving the world and mm-hmm. mankind and this and that.
Right.
But he absolutely said that. He okay. absolutely said that the reason, and if you understand, and people who've now listened to our episodes where we've gone into some of these OT levels and things, and he talks about everybody was brought to this planet
right.
75 million years ago, blah, 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 and they are, so everybody's fucked up from that. But he basically said, see, I wasn't. Part of that whole thing.
Oh, he missed it.
He missed it.
Got it.
Although it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because when he was first announcing it, he said, well, I had to find my way through this and it nearly killed me. Well, if he wasn't involved in it 75 million years ago, I don't know how it nearly killed him now, but whatever.
Yep.
There's just a few contradictions to be had.
You think?
All right. Scientology.
I want to talk about part four of Kelvin's.
Oh yes.
Okay. So he was looking at your whoismikerinder.com.
Yeah.
The website, one of the hate websites that the church, in quotes, of Scientology puts up of all their ex-members. How is that not an illegal website? It's defamatory. Its publication would not be permitted under Australian law. Is the law of the USA so weak? Do you think, do you just not bother because it's so laughably wrong? I find it offensive and I'm not you. I feel for you all to be targeted in such a way. I'm still intrigued by the fact that they claim ownership of it. No other religion aside from the Westboro Baptist, well, I wouldn't call it a religion, would do such a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, so good now question. We fight about this all the time.
I know. And my view is I don't think it's worth giving the time and attention to the foolishness that they put forth.
And even I do, though, by the way, and I do think I know. It's worth every second of your time. But go ahead.
And my second reason is because it's my firm belief that the one arena where Scientology has perhaps an advantage is in the legal arena.
Okay.
Because the legal arena is really controlled by he who has the most money and can hire the most lawyers.
And we don't have the money that Scientology has.
Yeah, and I certainly don't have the money that Scientology has. Not even like...
Not me neither.
Even when...
And I'm an actress.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I'm not.
I have called lawyers, by the way, and they wanted $1 million retainer. And what they say to me is, you have to prove that you lost something because of Scientology's websites.
Right.
And I can't say that I lost work because of what Scientology has said about me, and neither can you.
Right.
So that's to answer that part of it. When people say, like, why don't you sue? It's you literally have to prove that you lost something because of it.
Right.
Financially.
And also, you know, there is a, in my view, the way to defeat the abuses or put an end to the abuses of Scientology is not through civil litigation.
Mm-hmm.
Civil litigation is, he says, is the law really so weak?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
If the law in civil litigation is generally pretty pro the organization and not so pro the individual, and
meaning victim,
right? Yeah. Or victim, and the place where Scientology fails miserably is in the arena of public relations and in criminal prosecutions.
Uh-huh.
Those two things they fare very poorly at. Mm-hmm. And so I would rather devote my time to the PR and seeking to assist or do what I can to help get criminal prosecutions occurring, because that's a far more effective way of dealing with this stuff.
Oh, this is from Cat B.
Okay.
I just wondered what your thoughts were on Elizabeth Moss playing a character who's actively and affected by children being raped and exploited by adults, and her lines role is literally to fight against people like that and what it takes to protect kids when Scientology is basically Gilead.
Hmm. I know this question comes up a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I want to just find the what our thoughts were.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts are people should be asking Elizabeth Moss this every time she's interviewed.
I agree. And when she says, like every Scientologist, like I've said in my interviews, you know, you should just find out for yourself. And if I wanted to find out something about something, I wouldn't listen to apostates or ex-members. Why am I using that voice?
I have no idea. Didn't sound at all like
Anyway,
Elizabeth
let me get
Moss.
Rid of this cough drop. Okay, Gretchen asks, why can't Scientologists who fair game SPs be sued for libel? because we have to prove that we lost something.
Yeah, we're answering the same question.
To have a libel suit. No, but people ask this several times, and I want them to know. And by the way, if I had the money, I would sue the fuck out of Scientology.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Scientology does not promote education outside of the organization to members, yet Hubbard's fake PhD is part of his mythical origin story. From an outsider's perspective, this is just typical say one thing and do another. But can you explain the thought process from an insider's point of view? In other words, you, the devout follower, cannot pursue something that the leader got to do exactly.
Oh, well, Scientology is definitely the study of do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
I mean, L. Ron Hubbard was a walking contradiction.
Yeah.
I mean, on one hand, he would exhort Scientologists to be good family people and, you know, respect their children and their wife. And he had a string of children that he not only abused but abandoned.
Yeah, and then most of Scientology is this is the most important thing. You'll have another kid. If they disconnect or you have to disconnect from them or they die, you'll get another kid another lifetime.
Right.
Yeah.
And back at and in the early days, Hubbard was trying to make himself seem important. That's when he got this Sequoia University PhD degree, you know, diploma mill. He flunked out of university and subsequently has...
And he doesn't, by the way, have a PhD.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He never did.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally failed
at
George Washington University, which is the only university he went to. Though he tried to say that he went to Princeton, but he didn't really go to Princeton. He went and took a course there when he was in the Navy and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But subsequently, he made a lot of statements about how education outside of Scientology is not just a waste of time, it's detrimental.
Yeah.
It is subtracting from your IQ.
Yeah.
That is like making you dumber.
Yeah.
And that only education in Scientology has value. And like you said, cognitive dissonance is a sort of a hallmark of Scientology, as it is with every cult.
Even when you don't ignore it and you say like, why are all this, you know, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't mean they go, you ready to go? You ready to leave everything you've ever known? Are you ready to disconnect from your mother, your children? You're like, never mind.
Right.
And ultimately we didn't really give a fuck. We were just like, this is what we got to do because it's the key to our eternity. And so, yes, maybe he's lying here, maybe he's lying there, but, you know, ultimately it gets better. And ultimately, you know, here are the answers to life.
Right. And the big promise, the big hope is always so big and so all-encompassing that everything else is sort of insignificant. Just like you said, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter if he this, it doesn't matter if that doesn't make sense or this or that. The big picture is what really matters. The overall purpose of clearing the planet and saving mankind and going OT and preserving your eternity and all those things, those are the things that are hammered on in Scientology with good reason, because those things transcend everything else.
Yeah.
And you can always dismiss everything or anything that comes along when you've got this big thing. And even the big war against psychiatry and the evils and the us against them mentality is a part of that mindset that, look, it doesn't matter. We've got to save the world from the psychs.
Mm-hmm.
Because
if you believe that your life is not just about your life, right? You believe you have a mission, that you're all important and you're not just, you know, you're not just a mom. You're not just a dad. You want to believe, like, which is being a mom, being just a dad is amazing. It's you would be accomplishing much more than being a Scientologist your whole life. But I understand the want to be more important. That's why that kept me there. The sense of community kept me there. The sense of mission that was so above the average humanoid. You know, like, these are things that made me feel superior, right? When ultimately I was just an actress making people laugh. And you know what, Mike? That has a lot of value, because when you walk into a room and somebody smiles, or somebody writes you and says, I watched The King of Queens, or I watched The People Puzzler, or I heard your podcast, and, you know, whatever, like, that does mean something, right? And we all have our own thing. You don't have to be an actress or an actor or a musician or to affect somebody's day. You could just be a beautiful mother, a great sister, a good uncle, a good friend, and you would have done so much more for someone than forcing somebody into Scientology.
Oh, absolutely right. Yeah. Although I do think that something that I missed, and I think a lot of people miss when they leave Scientology, is that grander purpose.
Yeah.
That having a bigger view of existence than your day-to-day life is something that is very satisfying and appealing and attractive and valuable. Yeah. And that going away leaves a bit of a void.
Yeah, well, but it was never there. We were all under a trance. We were not doing the world any good,
right,
being Scientologists, Mike. But you being a dad to your sons and being a good husband to Christy and living your life is what it's about. Being a good man, this life is what it's about. And I know, you miss that the false sense of yourself, then you were bigger than what you were.
Right.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you know, now I feel like that larger purpose than just the day-to-day existence is trying to save the world from Scientology.
Exactly.
I mean, to me, this is the replacement for saving the world through Scientology is now saving the world from Scientology. Honestly.
Yeah. No. And that's not it's something to be admired, Mike. You know, like, we all in Scientology, no matter how much shit we talk, most people in Scientology think they're doing good things.
Right.
Right. And when we leave, that's who we are, you know, our core person of still wanting to help to make this world a better place is hopefully still there when we leave.
Sarah P.
Okay.
I am in the dental field and have been asked to participate in MGE Management Experts, which is supposed to be a training business course. Many of the people who are involved in teaching are Scientologists, and most of the material they use is from LRH, yet the doctors I work for say, this isn't Scientology.
Yeah, that's a line that we're taught to say, just so you know. It is Scientology.
Absolutely.
And it is to get your money, and please do not do it. And I would tell your colleagues the same thing. This is all, you know, they'll say it's secular, that this has nothing to do with Scientology. It's written by the man who invented Scientology, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's beyond that, Leah. MGE and these other
front groups,
management consulting companies that are part of the World Institute of Scientology Enterprise, or WISE, have as their primary measure of their success is how many people they get into Scientology.
And they count you as Scientologist, just so you know.
That's exactly right.
And so if you want to keep Scientology counting you as one, by the way, learn nothing. You want to keep a bunch of statistics and graphs all over your office and make it look like shit, do it.
M. Oh, I like that. Why would anyone on the higher OT levels wear glasses?
What?
Why would anyone on the higher OT level wear glasses?
I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't work. That no, newsflash, exactly. Everybody. Scientology doesn't work.
Yeah.
Here's a good one.
Yep.
KT, why is the Fort Harrison listed on as a hotel on Google but cannot be booked to stay at? Why imply it's a hotel and not just leave it as another random Scientology building?
That's actually a really good question, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that I'm totally certain.
And this is in Clearwater, Florida.
Yeah. This is the spiritual headquarters of Scientology, this international is the spiritual headquarters.
Mecca.
The Mecca of Scientology.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm not sure I'm completely certain.
I'll tell you why
certain.
You can't stay there. They don't want you there.
No.
They don't want non-Scientologists there.
So why list it as a hotel?
Why not? Scientology is always trying to appear as though we're just a
normal.
We're just a normal religion.
But I got to tell you, there's a little more to this.
Yeah.
Through the fact that they have that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The PR people of the Office of Special Affairs mm-hmm. are members of the Hospitality Association of the Gulf Coast of Florida.
Are you fucking joking me, no, Mike Rinder?
No, I am not.
Hospitality.
And,
oh, my God.
And I can't – there is some organization, Skull or something, and one of the members of this organization reached out to me and he said, do you know that Scientology – comes to these damn meetings and they want to host our next get together at the Fort Harrison. And it's crazy because we're all the people that own the restaurants and the hotels in Clearwater. And we've got Scientology infiltrating our organization and they're not really a hotel or a restaurant. They can't, you can't go there.
Why is this abnormal to people? Why is this so baffling to people? Why doesn't this guy who had the balls to write you with a whole bunch, why doesn't he stand up and say, why the fuck are you people here?
Do you know the answer
to
that?
You're not a hotel. You don't allow people who are not Scientologists to stay in your fucking hotel. You don't own a fucking get the fuck out of here. Instead, hey, Mike, I'm a tough guy. I'm going to ask all these questions.
Do you know the answer? Because I asked that exact question.
Yeah, what was the answer?
So why don't you say something about it? I don't want them coming after me.
So go fuck yourself. Enjoy Scientologists being at your meetings.
There you go.
So tired of ballless men world. Sorry, Mike. You're not one of them.
Oh, I thought you were saying sorry because I was.
It's just so funny that, like, we always get these questions, like, you know, like that, right? Behind the scenes. I'm not talking about our people, right? But, like, people who, like, email us. I want to know why fucking Scientologists here at the LA Payday Hollywood Division. We have a kiosk here. So stand up and say something, motherfucker. Why are you calling me? What do you want me to do?
Oh, right.
This got to be the last one.
Okay. Do you think that Scientology is the reason why Tom Cruise isn't afraid to do all these dangerous stunts for his movies?
Wait, what?
Do you think that Scientology is the reason why Tom Cruise isn't afraid to do all these dangerous stunts for his movies?
I'm not even going to answer.
I love that question. I will answer that question.
Please do.
No,
mm-hmm.
I do not believe that. And believe me, Ralph, the stunts are not dangerous.
Yeah, it's not like he's not doesn't have a fucking harness on. like you think Tom is jumping from fucking building to building without a harness on? And then he skinned his knee.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he might ride a motorcycle in shots.
So
and
what?
That
there's
sort
a lot
stuff,
of fucking people who people ride motorcycles every day. Yeah, guess what? There are real heroes in the world. They risk their lives every day when they put a uniform on. Firemen, women.
Just to cops. Finish this off.
Yeah.
One thing Scientology does not make you is brave.
No, just the opposite.
It makes you the opposite.
Yeah.
It makes
scared
you
of the world.
Fearful of the world. Yeah. Fearful.
Well, you can't even talk to your own father, who's an SP. I mean, or your own daughter. You know, what does that tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the exact reverse.
Exactly.
And I think that's that sort of sums up the entire topic.
Yeah. I'm hungry, though. You ready to go eat?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, listen, Mikey, it's so good to have you in front of my face. Thank you for watching this, if you watched this.
Or saw any bit of it.
Yeah. And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye.